Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Rock hammered earlier by the Big Show. And
Big Show, The Rock says, seeing as that jabroni you call a partner, The Undertaker is booked tonight for a match, that pretty much leaves you free. So The Rock says, if you've got any fortitude in them little bitty things you call balls.
Uh-oh. Very personal here. That's what this is about.
Then tonight, in front of all The Rock's fans, you will go one on one with the Great One.
Rock laying down a challenge to the Big Show tonight.
And go on and check your big fat ass directly into the SmackDown Hotel.
Big Show's gonna need a big king-size bed, isn't he?
Wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute. That Millennium clock.
It's the Millennium, JR. 10, 9, oh,
countdown.
6,
to the Millennium.
4, we're counting down.
It's
3,
here.
2,
we're counting
one.
It now.
What? What?
Of the live crowds
complete and utter silence. And I know why you're silent. You're silent because you're embarrassed to be here.
What?
And quite honestly, I'm embarrassed for you. And the reason why you're embarrassed is because of the steady stream of uninteresting, untalented, mediocre sports entertainers who you're forced to cheer for and care for. No wonder you're not cheering. You can care less about every single idiot in that dressing room, and especially this idiot in the center of the ring.
The Rock is going to explode, King, any minute.
You people have been led to believe that mediocrity is excellence. Uh-uh. Jericho is excellence.
He's got a lot of guts to interrupt The Rock.
And now, for the first time in WWF history, you have a man who can entertain you. You have a man who is good enough for you. You have a man who can make you jump up off your chairs, raise your filthy fat little hands in the air, and scream, "Go, Jericho, go! Go, Jericho, go! Go, Jericho, go!" Thank you. The new millennium has arrived in the WWF. And now that the Y2J problem is here, this company, from the front office idiots to all the amateurs in the dressing room, including this one, to everybody watching tonight, will never, ever be the same again.
Y2J, did he say Y2J?
Yeah, I heard him.
Look, The Rock is dumbfounded.
He's an arrogant young man.
Uh-oh.
After 3 boring minutes, The Rock says, "Know your role and shut your mouth."
I second that.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on The Rock show and not even have the class to introduce yourself? What is your name?
I told you.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Oh, no.
He got you.
That one.
The Rock says you talk about your Y2J plan. Well, The Rock has a little plan of his own, and it's called the KY Jelly Plan.
Oh, no.
Which.
You know what that is, JR?
Yeah.
You do? You don't use it to clean pipe, JR.
Which means The Rock is gonna lube his size 13 boot real good, turn that some bitch sideways, and stick it straight up. You can do it!
This is Great Muta, and you are listening to the Turnbox Lowbox with Phil Rea and that pain in the Astropion right in M Radio.
Dark Satellite Media.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who are you looking at, the man? Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Uh-huh!
Uh-huh!
Oh, yeah.
It's about that time.
It is about that time. I tried to adjust it.
How do I sound?
You sound good.
Beautiful. That's all that matters.
Yeah, go a little more.
Hello, hello.
Hello. See, you can hear me, right?
You sound delightful.
You sound delightful, too. Ladies and gentlemen, it is August 9th, 2019, episode 317 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I am your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philip G. Rea, and I am joined by
the pain in the ass.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
The R-A-Y cyst.
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
Wow! Nice, nice, lemon ice made it on here.
And we are live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media.
And we have a special guest in the studio.
Do we?
Yes.
Who?
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
No, her name is Stella.
Oh, what's up, Stella?
Hey, Stella.
How you feeling, God?
How you doing, Stella?
Y'all right?
Y'all
right. All right, then. All right, boy, look at this. Double A's in the room. The boss man, Cuzzy Rich. Anybody see Richie?
Richie!
We have Justin from The Conclusive. Shaylin's in the room.
How'd you get that nice, nice, lemon ice so fast on there?
You sent me the link.
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
Wow. We got Mr. Roberto Domingo.
Doing flips and shit.
My team,
doing flips and shit.
My teamster Juan is famous now.
You said, Phil, can you make me a soundbite of your friend Juan? I was like, of course.
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
So that could be also our part two. Okay, terrific. Like
that could be. Oh yeah, it could be either.
Okay, terrific.
Or it could be.
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
My God, that's great! I love it.
I love it, man. Anyway, so what's up, kid?
Oh, just a fun-filled week of set dressing. Oh, my God.
Set dressing. You set dressing fool, you.
Yeah, you know.
You know, living a dream.
Yeah, almost done with the Staten Island movie. Today was the last day of shooting, so now we're just wrapping up everything.
Okay.
And then I move on to FBI. I just saw this. Oh, FBI Most Wanted.
FBI Most Wanted.
That's the name of the show. It's a Dick Wolf, which is probably going to be last for 10 years.
You said Dick.
Yep, I did. You said Dick.
You said Dick. Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
So, you know, these Dick Wolf shows, they last for about 10 years, so I might be on that show for 10 years now.
10 years?
You know, he's the creator of SVU.
Oh, that's the fucking Law and Order cat, right?
Yeah, so if it's Law and Order, that means I'm going to be on that shit for 10 years now.
Man.
Doing flips. Look at Rob Domingo doing flips and shit.
Yeah, and everybody's over here now.
I'm over here now.
That's right.
There you go.
Guido and Tracy Smothers. Yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Justin, that Ladder Wars, I think that's on Honor Club. I want to see that. That's the Briscoes. Did you see the promo for that?
No, dude.
The Briscoes.
And the GODs?
Yeah. Oh, they're having a title fight tonight I think it's Ladder Wars, right? And the Briscoes cut a promo in their ring in their barn, and they set a Bullet Club shirt on fire.
Really? That's
yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
I made
a big tone.
I made a mistake. They're actually the 11-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. 11 times.
Yeah, they mentioned that, too.
My God, bro. I thought it was only 10. It's actually 11.
And we've put the Briscoes over a million times on the show, so it's like there's no they do nothing wrong.
They've been ROH champions, IWGP heavyweight champions, junior heavyweight tag team champions. Man, I would love to see these guys go to the E.
Is this on pay per view tonight?
No, can't be.
Dalton versus Roosh right now. It's on now. Oh wow,
it's probably like Honor Club shit.
All right, because I'll watch that when I get home. Mm-hmm. When I get home tonight, and you can watch it tomorrow because you're not working, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be too focused on NXT Takeover, and
I'm so excited,
dude. It's a stellar. The card is long.
We'll
dude.
Go over it in a few
it's
minutes, a lot but of like card. I was telling you last week, I have never been excited for an end of my vacation. Okay. Ever.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, you got Ring of Honor tonight, NXT tomorrow, SummerSlam on Sunday. Everything looks solid. G1 is wrapping up. I mean, there's a bunch of shit going on. It's a really good time to be a wrestling fan tonight.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I fucking think that Okada's going to win it.
What up, Vince? It's on Honor Club. Thank you. We got Inconclusive in the building.
Yes, sir.
It's Summer Supercard. I thought it was Ladder Wars, whatever. Fuck. They call it a bunch of shit.
Who gives a shit? All I know is I want to send out a big congratulations to... a top prospect in that tournament, and his name is Austin Gunn. For those of you who don't know who that is the son of Mr. Ass.
Nice, nice, lemon nice.
See, there you go.
Yeah, man.
Juan knows it already.
Juan knows.
And
ring that bell.
And, yeah, so this kid is, he's young, he's probably in his 20s, and they picked him up. Ring of Honor, so let's see what happens. I'm sure the kid's going to do really good. He's a much better talker than his dad, so.
Well, Billy Gunn is 67 years old. He still looks good, so his kid's
67? I thought he was 30. He looks
like I mean, he's 30. His kid looks really good, you know? So, God bless him. I hope he does well, you know?
I think he's going to do great.
Is it true Piper's daughter got a tryout, too?
She did.
Okay, I heard about that, too.
I heard. Did you see his son?
Who?
Colton?
What's up, Mike Palmer?
Colton's is fucking jacked to the gills, dude. This kid.
I haven't seen him. I've been watching a bunch of old shit. What the fuck else do I do? I'm old.
You know. Stop.
Yeah, I watched the Harley Race documentary from High Spots. I watched a really boring shoot interview with gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. I was depressed because I love Jimmy Garvin.
Rob thinks Coda's going to win that shit.
You know what? I was talking to Matt from Shining Wizards last night because I was telling him about my Japan trip.
From your mouth to God's ears, Rob.
I was talking to Matt last night because Matt's like, I heard you going to Japan. I'm like, yeah. So we started talking, and I was telling him about the trip and everything. And he goes, yo, he says, what do you think about G1? And I said, I'm just catching up now. I said, it's been fantastic. He goes, wouldn't it be cool if Okada wins and then calls out Kenny Omega?
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know what Omega's contract entails, right? Is it me or does Choppy's head look extra round tonight?
He says, "Yo, Rob says his head looks like a Portuguese titty."
I'm sorry, Teal's going all out, not Ring of Honor. I knew she's, you know, his head looks like a Portuguese titty.
Well, I am Portuguese.
Yeah. So, thanks for the correction, Justin. I knew she was somewhere. Someone sent me a link or something. I think Shaylin sent me something on Instagram, but I didn't pay attention. But anyway, I mean, I paid attention, but I didn't even bother. Just saw the picture, so I kind of paid attention. But thank you, Shaylin, for sending me that anyway. But yeah, so I was talking to Matt, and I was like, "Wouldn't that be cool?" Now I don't know what the extent of
Omega's
contract is, but that would be. I mean, and then of course Kota Ibushi gets pushed out, which we don't want. We want Kota Ibushi to win, but wouldn't that be cool though if he wins it and calls out Kenny Omega?
It'd be cool, but I think we've seen the match so many times. I don't know if it'd be cool if he called.
They wrestled twice, didn't they?
Three or four times.
It was twice.
Four times. Oh, you mean at Kingdom? At Kingdom, it's been twice.
Yeah, but.
But they've wrestled him numerous times. I don't know if I want to see that match again.
I feel like Kenny Omega has unfinished business in New Japan. He just, like, skipped after his contract went because his boys went and started their own company.
Well, he was at a crossroads. He didn't know if he wanted to go to the E or if he wanted to go to AEW, and, of course, he went with his boys.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, like, don't you think he left abruptly or you thought he finished everything out the way...
Dude, the man had won every... fucking title in that company.
Yeah.
Think about it. Heavyweight champion, U.S. champion, Intercontinental champion, junior heavyweight champion, tag team champion,
junior tag champion.
Yeah, open weight tag champion.
Right.
Come on.
Okay. That's fair.
He did everything, bro. He doesn't need to be there no more.
I'm just being greedy at this point.
Well, that's because you're Kenny Omega, Mark. Everyone's a Kenny Omega. Well, not everyone. Everyone. I know I'm a Kenny Omega, Mark.
So. Yeah. I got a Kenny Omega shirt unexpectedly in the mail the other day.
Oh, no. Yeah,
when
right.
I got this in the mail.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
I'm hoping that Okada actually wins it and then calls out Ibushi. That would be dope.
Yeah.
Ibushi, I mean, he's the next rising star. The golden star, no pun intended.
No pun intended. But, I mean, it's if it's going to be anything, it'll be his time. Either way, it's going to be great, as you would say. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Be awesome. Wrestle Kingdom is going to be great.
I think it's I think Wrestle Kingdom is going to be a happening. I think you, sir, and the Mandingos are going to have a phenomenal time over there.
Oh, yeah.
And those Japs, they know how to throw a party, I'll tell you.
Those Japs know how to throw a party, he says.
Ooh.
Wow.
Nice, nice, lemon ice.
I'm sorry, that shit's funny.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Choppy, I know you saw the photo I posted on Instagram yesterday. I still shot from the A-Team episode with Hulk Hogan. You saw that shit?
I saw that. That was actually on in the wintertime. I saw that episode.
I commented on that photo and I said, could you imagine if this was a babyface faction back in the day? That faction versus the Heenan family? Oh, my God.
Yeah, the problem with the Heenan family, though, is Bobby didn't have an abundance of guys until the end.
Yes, I know.
Like at the end, he had Rude, he had Harley Race, he had, you know, Andre.
He had the Colossal Connection.
Yeah, he had the Island, he had the Tonga, King Tonga. Yeah, I mean, he had Hercules before he sold him as a slave.
To DiBiase.
He's
Puerto Rican, what do you expect?
Wow.
I mean, he had those chains, what do you expect? Right? Does that have sleeves that have changed?
Wow!
Anyways. Well, all look at Rob. Rob's already offended.
The correct term is Oriental.
Thank you, Double A. Appreciate it.
You motherfuckers messed up.
Speaking of Oriental, wasn't there an Oriental in that picture that's seen? Oh, yeah, that's right. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was in that. There you go, see?
Wow!
Nice, nice, lemon nice.
I love my Dominican people.
Will you stop?
Oh, stop it, you gorilla. Fucking mook.
What is a mook?
What is a mook?
This guy's a fucking mook.
This guy's a fucking mook.
Oh, boy.
Rob, oh, boy, what did Rob post on YouTube?
I have no idea.
Oh, no.
What did he post? Let's see.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 30 seconds.
Orient Express theme. Oh.
You mother jerk.
You mother jumper. Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond.
That were a good tag team, dude.
They had bad company.
They're a great tag team. It's just too bad they had that really good match at Royal Rumble with fucking the Rockers. This had to be the most racist theme out there.
There are a couple of racist tunes then.
Oh, you mean Kenzo Suzuki?
Yeah.
Kai and Tai?
Kai and Tai. Choppy Choppy UPP.
Oh, there you go. Choppy.
Choppy Choppy. Choppy, choppy, choppy.
Choppy, choppy.
Choppy, choppy. I was rocking some fucking... I was DJing for a couple hours tonight. Fucking with the, the gimmicks.
With the gimmicks.
With the gimmicks. So...
You are a gimmick.
You ain't lying. You are not lying.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we got some news to get into, and then we got a really cool throwback for you tonight. Once the Tanaka's finishes...
The jab slap!
Ring that bell.
He said, Rob said, that's my shit.
You can listen to Inconclusive every Sunday.
God, Justin's so...
on a rant.
Justin is so non-offensive, it's great.
That's what Justin's show is all about.
That's what he's here for.
Yeah. I mean, we got all your bases covered. You want to get, you want to start your week off right and get into the non-political fucking, non-PC, in-your-face shit, jump on Inconclusive for Sunday. Shoot right over to Tuesday. You got the Wizards. They'll offend you one way or another, right? Except for tomorrow morning, Boz is coming on with Tony. That's going to be a fucking another fucking spectacular show for the fifth time. Then Tuesday you got the Wizards, and then of course you got the rant, and then you fucking end your week with us. So
and boy, do we offend?
Yeah, apparently we offend.
No, but I offend. You don't. You're
I try not to anyway.
Bull Nakano used that theme too. Okay.
Yeah, it's Bull knocking, knocking, knocking on heaven's door. That chick.
Wrestling themes have been stereotypical for years. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, because they didn't mean to offend anybody.
Watch out with that can, dude.
Watch out for that tree. My nephew was watching Georgia the Jungle last night.
What, with what's his name?
Brendan Fraser, yeah.
Wow, that shit sucked.
Yeah. Well, he's fucking 8 years old, so what do you want me to tell you?
Well, he's a good kid.
He's all right.
We'll let it slide.
George the Jungle. The
cartoon was great.
The cartoon was fantastic, actually. Mm-hmm. Same people who made Bullwinkle, I believe. Hey, Rocky. Won't you really rub that in my head? That trick never works.
Oh, God. I hated that show.
I like the music in that show was fantastic, though.
Here's something really fun.
Here's something completely different. Baza plus Tony equals car crash on the wrong side of the road.
Wow.
He's right.
The network was founded on intolerance. Wow.
The wrestling monkey, Baza Smith, will set everybody straight tomorrow morning. I think it's 4 a.m.
He's fucking Brit.
Because Tony's on Brit time. He's in Spain.
Fucking Brits and their bullshit. What?
Will you leave the Brits alone?
Fuck the Brits. We beat the Redcoats. Fuck them.
Fuck it.
And they're like, oh, you guys didn't do shit in World War II. No, we saved your asses in World War II. Fuck wow. Asses.
Not for nothing, though. If it wasn't for the fucking British airstrike that they had. They had a really good navy.
No, they did. They were pretty good.
They fucking helped us win the war, dude. We beat the Axis powers. With those fucking planes, man.
Fucking Japs and the
fucking Japs, he says.
Wow.
And those
okay, terrific.
And those beer swilling Germans, fuck them.
Nice, lemon nice.
Speaking of Germans, I had German food last night. I had Kielmeyer's for the first time.
Kielmeyer's is fantastic.
That's a fine establishment.
Yes, it is.
Allie and I were like, holy shit, these were the best potato pancakes we ever had.
You ever go to the spot over there in Castleton?
Oh, Nuremberg.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I've been all right. Kielmeyer's is way better.
Kielmeyer's is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so hitting these reboots of the 80s. Oh, my God. Did you hear what they're doing on the Disney Plus?
No.
They're going to reboot Home Alone.
Are they?
Yes, they are, dude. There's rumors.
I hope Macaulay Culkin plays like an adult, though.
Yes, I heard that. He's trying.
That's pretty cool. See, I'll dig that.
I think they're going to get him as an adult, though, and then they're going to get some other kid to be...
Yeah, so they dropped the streaming news this week. We're already halfway there because Choppy has Hulu.
I already have Hulu, so yeah, that means so I already have everything. I have the ESPN package. I have the Disney Plus. Once that shit drops in November, it's going to be great. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. We're going to have UFC.
Yeah,
on ESPN. Correction. We're going to have UFC.
Yeah, UFC, and they have the 30 for 30 documentaries.
I can't wait to see that Flair documentary again.
I mean, you're not a big hockey fan.
But, with the Gretzky one?
The trade was today.
Oh, yeah, there was like 30
years.
Ago. Yeah.
88. So.
Wow, that. God,
I was in my friend Glenn's house, and we had the radio on, and they announced it on the radio. Like, that's how fucking big it was. It broke, like, regular news, you know?
Well, Gretzky was sought after, dude. He was a major, major player.
Well, he had won a bunch of Stanley Cups, and then, at the time, he was going to be a free agent. Edmonton was not going to be able to afford him. And the owner was like, we could pay him, but then we can't pay anybody else. Because they had Mark Messier, Grant Fuhr, Jari Kurri, Glenn Anderson, Kevin Lowe, Jeff Pugelbaum. They had a whole team.
That whole squad.
I love that Oilers team. Right? So, I just bought them on Stratomatic, actually. So now, I was, they had this documentary called The King's Ransom. I'm telling you, man, even if you're not a hockey fan, I forgot the actor's name who directed it. He's a pretty famous actor from like the 90s and the 2000s, I forget his name.
How much did they pay Gretzky? How much was the trade?
They traded Gretzky to Los Angeles for Marty McSorley, some other dude, and $15 million in cash. Yeah, but $15 million in 1988 was a lot of money.
It's a lot of money now because these players don't get paid that much money sometimes.
Hockey players don't get paid a lot of money.
The most they get paid is like, what, $5 million a year?
But it depends on the cap and the team, you know?
But he also played for the Rangers, I know that.
He played for the Rangers, the Blues,
He was a fantastic player.
Best player ever. And when you go to the Hall of Fame, Chop, in Toronto,
there's
a whole Gretzky wing.
Is it really?
A wing. He has like his own wing.
God bless him.
Like his parents donated a bunch of shit from his childhood. He's got all the Stanley Cups there, his jerseys and everything.
Let me tell you how popular Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Wayne Gretzky were.
They got their own cartoon.
They had their own fucking cartoon, and that cartoon was fantastic.
All Stars, right?
Yes.
I remember that.
I remember having the Gretzky toy, and I remember having Michael
Jordan. Peter Berg. Thank you, Justin. It was Peter Berg. And Peter Berg's playing golf in the documentary with Gretzky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How old is Gretzky now?
Gretzky's in his 50s.
Is he really?
Gretzky's 50, 60-something years old. But he married an actress, Janet Jones, and he was living in L.A. at the time. So the owner from L.A. was like, all right, now I'm ready. He kept asking Peter Pocklington, you want to make a deal? When they pulled the trigger, his dad was his agent. His dad was like, fuck it. You know?
What was it? His dad was what?
No, really. Dad was like,
fuck it.
Just go, you know. Gretzky was so distraught at the press conference, he broke down. Because that was the only team he ever knew since he's like 18 years old. That sucks. You know, but that's part of the business. He actually wound up going to the Stanley Cup Finals 1 year with the Kings, and they lost 93 to Montreal. Well,
not for nothing, but how many Stanley Cups did he win?
Gretzky?
Four, I think.
Yeah, well, actually, the Oilers did win without him. They won, like, the next year without him.
Gotcha.
They beat, that was the first Stanley Cup I watched on TV. Because my friend had gotten Sports Channel. Remember gotcha. Sports Channel?
Yeah, of course.
The old, yeah. Oh, yeah. They had the Oilers, and I believe it was the Boston Bruins they played in the 89 finals, I believe. I'm doing this by memory, guys, so just bear with me.
It's... The history of hockey is so rich now.
I mean, it's fun because there's a lot of, like, you know, with WHA merge with the NHL.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you on the comment that you said. Not the comment, but the post you said that it's hockey is not as popular. It was not as popular then as it is now.
It wasn't here in New York.
I think it was very popular.
In New York, it wasn't popular.
In Jersey, it was very popular. Dude. Well,
maybe Jersey, but not in New York.
Dude, I was following everything in hockey at that time.
Just the 80s, though, not the 90s.
Oh, the 90s. I'm sorry.
When I was a kid, unless you played hockey, right? Hello, Charles Nelson Reilly. What's up, Sugar Shane? Unless you played hockey in the 80s in New York, you didn't know about hockey, really. Unless you followed it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like it wasn't. Once the Rangers won, the Devils won all those cups, and then cable television, ESPN picked up the NHL for a while. You know, shit like that, you know. But
It's like drinking wine. It's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah.
That's not for everyone.
Nah, people. I remember I had a buddy growing up who. He would come to some of my games to watch me play, but he's like, I can't watch this game on TV. It's so boring. And then he wound up getting a – when we were in high school, he got a gig at Madison Square Garden selling hot dogs.
Really?
And he was like, holy shit. He's like, Phil, this is like the best thing I've ever seen in my life up close.
I mean
– a lot of – like my sister
– when you go see it live, it's different.
I took my sister Natalie to a first Ranger game about 6-7 years ago, and she was like beside herself. She could not believe the atmosphere.
I went to go see the Devils at the old Continental Airlines Arena back in the 90s.
Oh, man.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, and then, of course, when the Islanders played in the Coliseum, I call it the Mausoleum.
The Mausoleum.
That's what Steve Summers calls it. But when the Islanders played in the old barn, those were fucking fun games, too, because you had the Rangers and the Devils going there. And then you had... you had the firemen playing the police, FDNY versus PD, every year. And the FDNY team in 2007 gave me a jersey, an honorary team member jersey. I'll show it to you next time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, my uncle was not on the team. One of his partners at the time in the police force was one of the coaches. And he got me a jersey with my name on it. So I wasn't able to skate with them because I had my work schedule coincide with this with their practices.
Yeah.
But they asked me to skate with them. It was pretty cool, actually.
That's dope.
And they won, and we celebrated. I drank from that cup. It was pretty cool, you know. But yeah, hockey's a fun sport if you're into it, you know.
I haven't watched it since 2003.
Last time the Devils were in it.
Correct.
They played the Ducks.
The Ducks. And the Ducks still in the...
Ducks won. Ducks won the cup.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember that. Nice. Remember when the 1 year Devils won the cup and Jersey wouldn't give them a parade? So they had the fucking parade in the parking lot of the Meadowlands.
Nice lemon ice, I tell you.
I was like, I know how fucking big New Jersey is. How can you not give them a parade?
New Jersey?
It's fucking like, the armpit of America.
Nice lemon ice.
It's the size of Portugal. What are you talking about?
It's a fucking dive. And it has some amazing fucking towns, man.
It has amazing fucking food. Let's talk about Harold's.
Food, towns. Yeah, we went to Harold's for my birthday. It was a fine establishment.
I'll tell you, my friend, you ordered everything perfectly.
Yeah, my stepdad and I had a plan. I was like, Dean, you got to help me because, you know, like I said, you can eat in bulk there, right? So it's like, you know, half the room wants fucking pastrami, half the room wants corned beef. Rob got a hot hamburger, and he had pastrami.
Yo, he was hungry.
My mom got a fucking 9-foot knish. Brielle got a knish.
It was good.
I know. They split it. It was pretty ridiculous.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was pretty nutty.
Just to point out something, guys. We had 15 people there on Sunday. The bill came out to $300.
Yeah.
For 15 people? Yeah. That's super fucking cheap.
Yeah. I told Brielle we're going to do that every year. I think we're going to, if I'm around, yeah, we'll just go to Harold's.
I think I want to do it for my birthday.
You're going to do it for your birthday, too?
I think I'm going to do it for my birthday. You want to know why it's perfect? Because it's wintertime, and on top of that, you get a nice hot pastrami sandwich. I think I'm going
to
do Harold's.
It's a fine establishment.
Like Harold's, dude.
If you're local, you got to go to Harold's in Edison.
And we're not that far from Harold's.
Edison, New Jersey. No, it's like 15 minutes.
I mean, I felt bad for the Mandingos. They went there, and they were all the way from Long Island and Manhattan, but they still enjoyed it, man. They had a great time.
Shout out to Rob Nalini. Came out for our birthday. For my birthday.
By the way, thank you guys for getting us the Mean Gene LGN figure.
Yeah, Lillian got to see the LGN Mean Gene.
And we also got a Dusty Rhodes.
We got a Dusty Rhodes street clothes figure.
Mm. He looked very slim and dapper in those street clothes.
Yeah. We went to Yestercades in Red Bank.
That was fantastic.
Played video games. Went to the Secret Stash.
Oh, Secret Stash. That was my first time going there inside.
I love it. Got me a Kevin Smith Blackhawk jersey. I almost got a jersey. Allie's like, you should buy a hockey jersey. I'm like, it's $100. Like, I don't mean to fucking spend $100 on it. But, you know. It was dope, though. It's a nice store.
Very, a very fine establishment.
And then you guys got me
A Venom statue,
but it's almost like a, it's Venom, but like a cartoonish
version.
Cartoon character Venom, and he's eating a Spider-Man head lollipop.
Almost like a pop figure, pop-esque.
Yeah, we had a great day. Thank you again to everybody who showed up. New Jersey State shape looked like a Himalayan salt lamp. Look at that bell.
Wow. Damn. Shane? Where's Shane from?
Shane's from Texas.
Is he really?
Originally from New York, though, upstate.
Oh, I didn't know that. Why did he move that cesspool called Texas?
I don't know, but Shane's a Raider fan.
Yeah, that I know.
And I thought about Shane because Hard Knocks started on Tuesday, and I'm excited. I love football. Now, as of yesterday, football's going to be on for the next till fucking February.
Preseason, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, someone offered me tickets to the Giants-Jets last night. And the guy's like, I have two sets of tickets for $75. And I'm like, okay, $75 each or $75 for both? He goes, $75 for both. And I'm like, you got to pay $40 to park there. He didn't even offer a parking pass.
I think it's actually $20 now.
It's $40 to park.
Now it's $40, they went up.
$40, wow. Yeah. And I was like,
it's preseason, though. What the fuck?
But if you include a what's up, Jamie? If you include a parking pass, I would have took it. It was fucking cold. It was hot out yesterday. Really humid.
Very hot.
And it rained last night too. Again, we had a really bad rain the last couple of days. That Venom statue was based off of a Scotty Young artwork.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. Justin, it's a great. I'll show it to you guys. I'll post a picture of it later. It sits proudly now on my headboard.
And just to let you guys know, the reason Venom is one of Phil's favorite characters
because
he's a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, Tank and I. When Tank and I were hanging out, he was getting rid of his comic book collection. He gave me most of his McFarlane collection.
Correct. And that's another reason why we're fans of Venom, just because McFarlane made that character. Like, when the character first debuted, he had like a small little mouth, and he smiled, and that was it. But then McFarlane embellished the smile even more by making it look like an alien-esque, almost like the alien, the Xenomorph from the Aliens movie.
Yes.
Almost to that extent. And that's what made us fans instantly of fucking Venom, just because of the way he looked.
What up, Drace? Drace is in the room.
What's up, Drace?
What up, Drace?
My brother.
What up, brother? Yeah, and shout out to Tom McFarlane. 300 issues of Spawn coming out.
Tom McFarlane?
McFarlane is the first independent artist to have 300 books.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Also went on to have his own toy line. Probably the most popular toy line of the 90s.
I think I still have my Spawn figure in storage somewhere.
Did you ever have... I remember owning the Brandon Lee Crow figure that was done by...
I didn't have any of that stuff. I just had the box set HBO.
Okay.
Well, the cartoons, the series. I had the Spawn, original Spawn figure, and then I had the... what do you call it? The first 10 issues. I have the first 10... The first
Which
one.
Was probably the best out of the
I
whole...
I just have 10 issues.
...the whole run. And then... I own the Sting. The Crow figure that was done by McFarlane Toys.
Sting.
There you go. And then I also had one of. I believe I had Gene Simmons' Tom McFarlane figure.
Yeah. Oh, I had the Kiss figures too.
Oh, they were dope.
I have the Kiss figures.
Oh,
from the 90s.
My
mom got me them for Christmas one year.
Oh my god. I'm a fan of Jim. Oh, Jim Lee is a fantastic artist. Let me not get into Jim Lee now, because Jim Lee did Hush, Batman Hush.
We got to do Ghetto Geek Squad, man. I talked to Lou last night. We got to get together and do some fucking squads.
X-Men. Jim Lee did X-Men. Wildcats. Savage Dragon.
Young Bloods, right?
Young Bloods, Savage Dragon. Oh, my God.
Savage Dragon's a good book. Well, it was a good book.
It was. I remember they did a team up with Savage Dragon and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that Jim Lee, I believe, did the artwork for. Jim Lee's a fucking genius.
I believe there was a Savage Dragon Batman team up, too.
I believe so, too.
I'm not. Don't hold me to it, though.
To this very day, I still think Jim Lee draws Batman the best. Just the way he just does it so good.
Not for nothing, Jim Lee did a fucking good Superman, too.
Yes, he did.
He drew really good. He gave him that fucking square jaw.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he had that. Yeah, he hinders with the anime shit, too, a little bit. I'm a wrong fucking podcast. We break it down all the way for comic books, but my guy is Alex Ross.
Well,
because of the colors. And
well, he does.
I like his paintings. You know, I feel like.
So, I think Alex Ross is the type of guy not to do comic books, but to do like portraits.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's the type of guy that you'd have like a frame to hang up on your wall, and his artwork is just immaculate. I remember seeing. He did a painting of Captain America with the old school Captain America costume.
Yeah.
And it looked fantastic. And then I also seen him do some stuff for Spider-Man. I love the way he painted Spider-Man. He did a great job doing Spider-Man. But my top five artists would be, number one is McFarlane. Number two, Jim Lee. Number three, Steve Ditko. Jack Kirby. John Romita. Those are my five. Those are the best.
Romita did so much, too. He did Spidey. He did Cap. He did Daredevil.
What about Jack Kirby, dude? Jack Kirby was amazing, dude.
Kirby did. And didn't Romita do, like, Daredevil and all that?
Well, Romita did Steve. Romita was the one who started doing Spider-Man.
And Ditko, right?
And then. Ditko did Spider-Man.
And Cap.
And then he left because he had a bit of a falling out with Stan Lee because he didn't want to reveal. He wanted to reveal the identity of Green Goblin. Stan Lee felt that we should hold off on that. And it was the right move.
Speaking of Ghetto Geek Squad, Anime Mike is in the room.
In the house!
Yeah, Mike. Anyway.
Anyways. But yeah,
we got to do some.
That's another podcast.
We
got to
do some Geek Squad shit, man. Because there's so much stuff coming out. And then Comic-Con's coming to New York.
Woo! Look at this mess here!
We got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
Look at this barbecue.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Wow.
Wow! We got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
Yeah. So, where do you want to go first? You want to go New Japan, NXT, WWE?
Let's go New Japan and NXT.
All right. G1, let's see. This is...
It's almost done.
Yeah, this is tomorrow morning.
I believe Moxley and Okada are in the lead right now.
Let's see. Yeah, let's see. The tomorrow's card is going to be Narita and Juice Robinson versus Umino and Moxley.
Okay.
Hamna and Toriano versus Toa Hanare and Jeff Cobb. Then it's Hashi, Goto, and Ishii versus Taichi, Suzuki, and Kanemura. Bushi, Tagaji, and Naito, LIJ, versus Bullet Club, Chase Owens, The Pimp, Takahashi, and Jay.
Why?
And let's see. Evil versus Lance Archer.
Wow.
That's in the A block.
I forgot to tell you. Did you know I was listening to David Boy Smith Jr.'s shoot?
I didn't hear it yet.
Oh, my God. He does not like Gato.
I heard about that. You told me about that.
I did not know he hated Gato
so
much.
He hates Gato.
Bro, Gato fucked him big time.
Because Gato didn't book him properly, apparently. That's why you don't see him with Lance Archer
now. So what's going on is Lance Archer was injured, and he wanted Gato to book him as a single star until Lance Archer got back. And then, no. Gato was like, we don't got shit for you.
Mike, fuck Jay White.
No, fuck you. Go fuck your hand.
Evil versus Lance Archer in the A block. Another A block, Sonata versus Bad Luck Fale. Another A block, Kenta versus Zack Sabre.
Oh, that's tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, Kenta and Zack Sabre? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to be waking up anyway early for all this shit. I want to listen to the Wizards, and I want to watch New Japan.
So Tanahashi and Will Ospreay?
I'm going to be... Anybody up at 4 a.m., you can shoot me a message. I'm probably going to be up. Tanahashi versus Will Ospreay, and Okada versus Ibushi.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be good.
That's tomorrow.
That's a good fucking card,
that's
dude.
Tomorrow. Killer Elite Squad was dope.
I agree, Drace, but you want to know something? Apparently, Gato didn't agree.
Yeah, well.
He had a lot of nice things to say about Tiger Hattori. He had a nice British Bulldog.
By the way, thank you guys. You guys got me a ticket to Tiger Hattori's retirement tour.
Well, you want to know something? You deserve it, brother.
I really?
Well,
I appreciate it.
I think you deserve it. We felt that we had to go to this New Japan show. We had to.
Yeah, since you won't be joining us in Japan.
I do not have the funds for that, but I will be joining you for the Tiger Hattori retirement tour.
It's going to be so dope.
We'll even see Red Shoes there, most likely.
I hope to see Red Shoes.
Red Shoes is fantastic.
I love Red Shoes.
He's great.
He's a fine, fine official.
Listen, that night, I definitely want to meet the GODs, if they're there.
Oh, yeah.
If they're there.
The meet and greet?
I definitely want to meet the GODs.
Yeah, we'll do a meet and greet.
I have to meet the GODs.
Yeah. We try to do at least one every time we go to this is not an ROH show, though.
No, this is
going to be New Japan Pro Wrestling.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's right.
If I get to meet, Tama and,
Tangaloa.
Tangaloa and Hikuleo.
Hikuleo. I keep forgetting. Liger!
Liger!
I am buying a Jushin Thunder Liger mask for my trip to Japan.
Good for you.
But I was telling Elaine and Rob, I still want to buy the machines. I want all of us to have machine masks. Okay. I want you to be a choppy machine. I want to be the impact machine. We got the fucking...
The Mandingo machines.
The Mandingo machines. Yeah. Yeah. The hammer machine.
The hammer machine.
Yeah.
The German suplex machine.
Yeah, the Nick German machine. NJM. Nick German machine. We'll get Muzzy a mask, the Muzzy machine. I was talking to Muzzy last night, actually. But, yes. So I'm excited. I've been looking at flights, trying to book my flight. I'm petrified because I've never done anything like this before, like expensive, like, you know.
I know.
And, like, I'm afraid to, like, I'm afraid to, like, book the wrong thing. And I'm going to go with the straight flight. I'm going to spend the extra couple of bucks and get the straight flight because Rob made a point, like, you know, it's a holiday. I'm traveling on New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. And if I can do a layover, it might fuck the flight system up because it's a holiday and everybody's traveling. So I'm going to do a straight flight and, you know, and then I gotta look for a hotel and shit. So it's gonna be so good.
The other guy that was on the show? He said that he had done. I think he did hostels, and the hostels are pretty cheap over there.
No, I gotta go classy because I'm not a small person.
You gotta go classy, not trashy.
Right, because I want to sleep in a regular sized bed. You know, they don't make people that big in Japan unless you're a wrestler. they're gonna think I'm a wrestler. Phil-san, you fat bastard. You fat American, you fat fuck.
Phil-san.
You here for an hour, you eat like killer whale. Why you make chabo, Phil? Phil-san, Ichiban, number one.
You're not as fat as fat-ass Masa, though.
No, probably not. The Shaolin machine. Yeah.
Shaolin machine.
I think we all should get fucking masked and go as the machines.
And the anime machine.
I love it. Someone please look into getting these masks. I want to do the machine gimmick.
How about the bald bull machine?
The choppy machine.
Machine. I choppy your pee pee.
So yeah, I'm excited, man. I applied for my passport. Dude, they took my birth certificate. The guy's like, all right, I'm like, give my payback. He goes, no, we. The government will send it back to you. I'm like, the government sends me back my fucking... I was like, holy shit.
They don't play around.
I'll tell you, it was painless, though. Because I thought there was like a hope... Because Brielle was like, you can go to Coney Island, get it done quick. I'm like, I can get it done in 6 weeks. I'm going to be here until next year. So you can get... I didn't know the post office does everything for you.
Yeah, they do.
Take your picture, the whole nine yards. I didn't know any of this. I never had a passport. I never traveled. I traveled to Canada once. And then everything else is like the eastern seaboard. I went to Florida, the Carolinas. I never flew anywhere, and I flew west one time. I flew to Nevada.
The place that me and Brielle were talking about is on Coney Island Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
And the degenerate machine.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what happened was I thought my passport was fine, and then lo and behold, I looked at it. I was like, holy shit, it's expired. So I had to like, this was the year that I went to Mexico.
Yes.
That year, I think I had like 2 weeks.
2 years ago.
It was like
3 years ago.
It was like 2 weeks before the trip, and I was fucked.
Oh, you went to the one in Coney Island to expedite it.
I got it in 3 days, dude. They did not fucking.
But you're a citizen, correct? You were born here, or you were born in Portugal?
No, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Your brother was born here too.
My brother was born in Livingston, Jersey.
Oh, in Jersey. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys aren't really foreigners. Your parents are from Portugal, though.
My dad was born there, but he's been a naturalized citizen since 1996.
Nice.
And my mom is still a green card holder. She's not, she's not an American citizen.
She didn't want to do it?
She wants to do it this year, she said. She wants to think about doing it this year or next year, but she definitely wants to get it finalized.
I gotta tell you, she's been here for like 30 years, and she speaks perfect fucking English.
Her English is
amazing.
Is impeccable. My dad's is like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
I think because your dad just refuses to fucking give in.
I think my dad is just a stubborn old man.
He's lazy. He's not lazy work ethic. Lazy.
He's not lazy. It's just that he immerses himself with it. It's the same fucking people that speak his language. That's it. Boston, that's why you're a jerk. Well, fuck you in your hand, you Filipino piece of shit.
You're a jerk, huh? That's what I think of you. Okay.
Yo, speaking of Filipino, yo, dude, Rob took his mom to our spot last night.
Which one?
Papa's in Queens.
Oh,
you
boy.
Still have to go there, man.
Yeah, you told me it's
good. Oh, my. Chop. I'm telling you, dude. Fucking amazing.
I love Filipino. I've had Filipino.
Oh, no, but I mean, I never had it, so I'm spoiled. Because if I eat anywhere else, I'm probably going to hate it, because this place is fucking ridiculous. So I texted Rob, I was like, you took mom to the spot? She's like, yeah.
By the way, Rob, what'd she say about that place?
Because she loved it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Well, you got to keep in mind, because, you know, Filipino food is different when you go to, like, a restaurant, I'm sure it is.
Oh, look who's here.
Nick.
Nick, we just decided we're making you a machine.
The Nick German suplex machine.
Nick German suplex machine. The NJM. Anyway, yeah, man. So,
G1 looks good.
Yeah, no, it's good. And but the passport thing, like I said, the passport thing was, yeah, it is best Filipino food in town.
And what part of Queens?
It was in Woodside. Now it's in Jackson Heights.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But she had like a fucking, the first spot that she had, you could fit, you know, six people in there. Now it's like a regular size restaurant.
Gotcha.
You know? But I'm telling you, dude, next time you come out to Queens, or next time we do an event or something, and like we go to Elks Lodge or something for FTW, which will be at Sacred Heart end of next month, myself, Choppy, and my brother calling the action for FTW.
It's going to be super.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Anime Mike, don't fucking fall asleep that day.
Yeah, dildo.
Fucking jerk
well,
off.
We'll be together that day, so we can go together and beat him up.
Fucking asshole.
What a dildo.
What a dick.
What a fucking cockbag. Anyway. Yeah, so the passport thing was painless. I thought it would be like a big issue.
No, it's not.
I was out in and out in like 10 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Which post office did you go to?
The one on, into New Dorp, I think. You know where like Five Below
I know it's at. I know it's at. Yeah, that place is pretty good.
Where the Chipotle is?
Yep.
Yeah, it's right
I know
over
exactly
there.
Where it's at.
They have a special line for it.
Oh, good.
So
did you have everything prepared? Or
yeah, I had all my paperwork. She's like, you have this. I'm like, yeah, you have that. She's like, you have a photo. I'm like, I don't have a photo, but it says it said on the internet that you guys do that. She goes, we do. Oh, good.
You're like, oh, okay.
Right, because I mean, you know, if I didn't have my I had my birth certificate. I had a copy of it, so you wouldn't know I'm taking the original. I'm like, oh man, I hope I get it back. You know, because I had to get my birth certificate a couple years ago for something, right? And I had to go down to I had to go into the city for it, Department of Vital Records. That's a fucking shit show. Because getting it is not the issue. Getting online and waiting for it is another fucking story. Bro, it's worse than the DMV.
For me,
worse than the DMV.
When I lost my birth certificate from Boston, I actually went online. And they actually
Yeah, you could do that now. But I needed it, like, I couldn't wait
oh, for no, it. I got mine within like 3 days.
Holy shit, look who it is.
What?
Matty Legend.
Wow. Nice.
What the fuck, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal. Homie. Buddy.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Star-studded night.
It's a fucking star-studded cast tonight in the chat room.
God bless.
Yeah, so I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I'm getting nervous. So I can't wait, you know?
It's going to be super.
I took out a fucking...
Oh, fuck that. It's going to be great.
Like, you know... Borrow my own money for it. I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I only live once, you know. I figured my mom said to me, she goes, you really gonna go? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you're gonna be all right on the plane? I'm like, I'm gonna drug myself.
Best advice I can give you about the best advice.
I mean, I've never taken a longer than a 4-hour plane ride, so.
Yeah, this is gonna be 12 hours, my friend.
14.
Oh, sorry, 14
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, 14 hours.
Drink heavily.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Heavily.
I don't fly very well. I'm terrible.
You know what it is? I don't land very well. Like I get caught in motion sickness. So I'm going to pop a bunch of fucking Dramamine, drink, play some fucking Switch, and hopefully take a nap.
Shaylin, I don't know the name of the website because I got it like 13 years ago.
Shaylin, it's the Department of Vital Records.
If you type in, go to Google, type in, I need a copy of my birth certificate, they'll give you the fucking thing. They forgot my fucking empanadas, Dre said.
Who did?
Who did, buddy?
Mama's Empanadas in Queens, right there in Jackson Heights. That's a fine establishment.
Did you say Corona had some good empanadas?
Yes. Yeah. Mama's. It's in Jackson Heights, actually.
Gotcha.
Not too far from Corona. Cerveza Masfina. You know what I had the first time last week?
What's that?
On my vacation? A Modelo.
Modelo's okay.
Not bad.
It's all right.
I'm not a big beer drinker anymore, but that was... me and Will and I had a few of them.
This is my drug of choice right here.
Stella's are good, man.
Stella's are fantastic.
Just don't drink anymore. You have to drive me home.
Shit.
Yeah, how many did you have?
Just one.
Oh, I'm joking. I really don't give a shit.
No, I really don't drink and drive. I really don't.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, they could fuck you for one beer.
Oh, yeah. If they, you know, if it's the end of the month.
Oh, they'll fuck you for one beer.
And they put the traps out, it's a wrap.
It's over.
Oh, it's a wrap. All right.
Now we go on to the NXT.
Where you want to go? NXT? You want to go WWE?
NXT.
All right. So, TakeOver tomorrow. NXT TakeOver Toronto, 7 p.m. I am super, super excited for this.
This is a long card, too. My God.
Super, super, super excited. All right. We give our predictions?
Yes, let's do it.
Kevin Castle's in the room.
Hey, Kev, what's up, buddy?
Kevin Castle, Don Tony every Monday night.
It's a star-studded night, my friend.
We got a lot of people watching us tonight. What's up, big Kev?
How you doing?
Kev and Don Tony killing it every Monday night after Raw.
Yep.
For like a gazillion years now. Standard, the trendsetters.
It's got to be like 10 years now.
It's got to be. They're fucking ridiculous.
Same.
Patreon, I got a bunch of shit going on over there too.
Good for them.
All right. Candice LeRae versus the shitlocker, Io Shirai.
I don't see it.
You know, what?
The shitlocker that you guys are
talking about. She's got a big fat ass.
Are you sure about that?
Dude, I saw her up close. She had a big fat ass.
Good for you.
I'm telling you.
I'm
taking Io Shirai.
I am taking. You know what? I'm going to go with Io Shirai.
Okay.
Just because they just turned their heel. They're turning Candice LeRae into the Sami Zayn of NXT. They're going to keep on losing until eventually she develops a lot more sympathy.
You're right, Shaylin. We got the superstars up in here.
Dude.
What's up? I snuck in. What's up, boy?
What's up, Kev?
Thank you for the love, Kev. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
NXT. Tag Team Championship, Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era.
Now, guys, I used to hate the Street Profits. I love the Street Profits. Now, oh shit! Sorry, Rob, my phone just died. That's probably why. I'll
send it to me, Rob. I'll send it. I think he just did.
There it is. So, I love the Street Profits. I think they're a fantastic tag team. They've been really. Marketed properly on Monday Night Raw right now, and I think in my heart that since they're being featured a lot on Monday Night Raw, I think they're going to lose the titles to Undisputed Era. You're going to have three-time NXT Tag Team Champions.
No, you didn't send it to me. But anyway, I'm taking down Undisputed Era. This is I said this months ago that before the year's end, the whole crew's going to have titles. This should be the night they do it.
Oh, yeah. It has to be.
Bobby Fish is now cleared. He's been wrestling. He's back in shape, thank God.
He's a machine.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I drank the Kool-Aid. Once Roddy joined the group, I was addicted.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I have their autograph on my wall. Like, I'm like a kid right now.
You're welcome.
You know, you're right. I give you all the credit. Speaking of the Undisputed Era, the North American Championship, the Velveteen Dream. Defending against Pete Dunne and Roddy Strong, the triple threat match.
Wow, Drace, that's a bold statement. He says Dunne, Dream, and Strong are stealing the whole weekend.
Wow.
Not even the show, the whole weekend.
Yeah, just look at that. Look, dude, come on.
Wow, that's nice. Jeez.
That's her ass, dude.
Damn, I was not expecting that.
I'm telling you, man.
Wow.
I'm telling you, during fucking TakeOver WrestleMania weekend, I'm like, I looked at Rob, I'm like, dude.
You know why?
You're right, she does have a big fat shit locker.
You want to know why? She works out. She works out.
She does work out. Lee said, I'm missing out, Phil. I'm at Hershey Park right now. It's all right, Lee. Enjoy yourself, man.
Lee, I hope you're doing good, brother. I still disagree with you in regards to the whole Kendall Windham thing. Anyways, I see Roderick Strong winning the NXT North American Championship. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. I see Roddy taking it. I still don't agree Pete Dunne should be in it, but I see why they're doing
it. I agree with you. I completely agree with you. I think Dunne should not be in this.
I think Pete Dunne should be the next challenger.
This is what's going
to
happen.
To the North American
title. I think they booked it incorrectly. I think it should have been Roddy versus Velveteen Dream. Roddy won the belt, and then the next NXT TV taping, Pete Dunne shows up. Yeah. That would have been smart.
Yeah, Dre, she does have a fat ass. And Rob kept saying, that ass, though. And I'm like, yeah. And then I looked at him, I'm like, holy shit, he wasn't lying. She's got a shit locker.
I wasn't expecting that when I saw that picture.
And then we took Allie to Asbury Park. I'm like, look at that shit locker. She's like, what's a shit locker? I'm like, look at her ass. All right.
In my culture, we don't say shit locker. We say bakery. Look at that fucking bakery.
Look at that bakery. My cousin Nikki used to call pussy broccoli. You get some broccoli tonight? I'm like, yeah, get some broccoli tonight.
Next match. The NXT Women's Championship. Shayna Baszler, your champion, versus Mia Yim, formerly Jade from Impact Wrestling.
Impact Wrestling. Now, Mia Yim, the storyline's pretty cool. She actually took out Baszler's entourage.
They're done.
And we all thought that either Sairi Kane or Io Shirai was going to win the title from Baszler. It never happened.
Yeah.
Baszler's been on a fucking tear the last year. And
it shows.
Yeah. So, does she finally drop the belt?
I think it's going to be Mia Yim's time. Mia Yim deserves to win the title. I mean, look at her. You look at her, she's a star. Mia Yim is a fucking star.
Well, she's got the hood thing going for her, you know.
She's a blazing dude.
And she's been around. You know, she did the circuit.
She has. She's been Shimmer champion. She's been
Impact, right? Was she Impact champion?
She's been Knockouts champion from Impact.
Okay.
And now she's going for the NXT Women's title. Yeah. She has the pedigree, dude. She's going to win it.
Yeah?
She's going to win it. I have a feeling she is. All
right. I want to say yes, but just for the sake of the show, I'll pick Baszler. Mia Yim should win, though. I mean,
Mia Yim should
win. It makes sense.
It makes a whole lot. First off, they've been beating the shit out of her on NXT TV. She took out her girls, and now it's time for Shayna Baszler to put up or shut the fuck up already.
Oh, little Rob.
Baszler's that Oriental killer. Damn, Rob. Wow, and they call me racist.
Nice, lemon ice.
Doing flips and shit.
And finally, for the NXT Heavyweight Championship.
Of the world.
Two out of three falls. Johnny Wrestling, Cleveland's own Johnny Gargano, going against the man, the myth, and the future legend, Adam Cole. Baby!
Now, we still don't know what the falls are going to be. We don't know what... I have a feeling the third fall is going to be a cage match. What do you think?
I mean, this is the third time they're fighting or second?
This is the third time.
It should be a cage match.
The third fall is going to be a cage match. The first fall is probably going to be a regular match. Second fall is probably going to be like a street fight of some sort. And the third fall, if it does, which it most likely will go through the third fall, it's definitely going to be a fucking cage match.
Tomorrow night, I'm cooking myself a nice dinner. You know you're welcome to come over.
Of course.
Cooking myself a nice taco dinner. I already got the fixings. I'm breaking out the fucking black and gold. Not the franchise black and gold, but the UA black and gold. I got the hat, I got the shirt, I got the gimmicks. Tomorrow night should be the night of the Undisputed Era. If they do anything right this year, NXT...
They've been doing everything right, though.
They have been. But if they were just to put the icing on this fucking 8-month-long cake that I've been fucking salivating over, this is going to be the coup de grace. This is going to be the time that the Undisputed Era have all the titles. And this is a throwback, no pun intended.
To the Four Horsemen.
Right. Because I'm watching all the 87 NWA matches this weekend. This past week, I should say, and I'm watching Flair and Anderson, Blanchard, Luger, which was before Barry.
Yeah.
Luger. And I'm like, dude, man, this is the time.
I agree.
You got factions now. You know, AJ's got his little faction now, and you got the New Day, and you got the fucking Chicks, and you got, I mean, they're bringing tag teams back. This is what it's going to be now. You know, if Fox Sports is going to take NXT on a live platform and compete with AEW, that's the rumor right now, they got to put more emphasis into the stories.
Less matches and more stories.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. It's tacos and takeover. You fucking right. Big drips. You fucking right, dude. Dripping gold, bro. That's the hustle. You got four talented. Listen, taking nothing away from Pete Dunne, taking nothing away from Dream and Gargano. All those guys are phenomenal workers, right? But when you have a faction and you have a chance to put all the belts on them,
and the faction that's over and selling merch,
yeah.
Yeah. And their heels.
Like, back in the day, the Horsemen sold satin jackets on the back of wrestling magazines. They sold their own fucking vitamin. They had their own line of vitamins.
And people bought that shit.
Okay, so it was my time, because I always rooted for the heels. I seldom rooted for the face wrestler. I had a favorite face wrestlers, don't get me wrong, but I always rooted for the fucking, for the bad guys, except when Dusty fought them. And when the Road Warriors fought them. Everybody else I didn't give a fuck about. They want to injure them? Go ahead. You know, you can injure them. And they did. They wrecked the Rock and Roll Express. They beat the Midnight Express. They beat fucking the Wyndhams. They beat, but you know, the list is long and distinguished. The Undisputed Era has a chance now to create something. All talented guys. Guys who thought Ring of Honor didn't want to hold, couldn't afford them anymore, and they couldn't go. They couldn't stay in Japan, and they couldn't stay in the Bullet Club, and they couldn't. And Roddy couldn't stay anywhere at one point, and he was Mr. ROH. So now you have a chance to book this the right way. If they do anything right, give these guys the fucking belts. Not because I'm a mark, but because it's the right thing to do. Because then you have all these guys chasing them. Velveteen Dream could step up against Adam Cole. Pete Dunne can go against Roddy. Well, Gargano can go against Roddy. Gargano can get Ciampa back and go after fucking Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
I think after here's my prediction. I think after tomorrow night, Gargano is going to go to fucking the main roster. I think so.
Even if he doesn't, him and Ciampa can have one more run because they have the Street Profits. They have the guys there.
Well, listen, Ciampa is going to come back and he's going right after Cole.
That's fine too. And I'm about that too.
And you want to know something? Cole's going to hold on to that title until Takeover WrestleMania weekend. And that's where Ciampa gets the belt back.
Wow!
That I'm fucking Chopstradamus.
Chopstradamus.
And I'm predicting that Ciampa gets the belt at WrestleMania weekend for that takeover right there.
Okay,
that's my prediction.
All right.
And now we go on to the WWE card of SummerSlam.
Yeah, let's do that real quick
before we go on break.
Go to break.
Let's see how it looks.
Ba, 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 ba. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Give me 1 second. SummerSlam, if you will.
SummerSlam,
daddy.
Daddy. And here we go.
All right.
For
preview, let's see.
For the Universal Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, let's go in order.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. First match, Chop. Drew Gulak and Orny Lorcan for the Cruiserweight title.
I love...
What up, Nephew Nick?
I love Biff Busick. I really do. Oni's been on all cylinders and on 205 Live and on NXT. But I still think Drew Gulak is going to hold on to that title. Gulak has been on a tear on that 205 Live roster.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Now, we thought Finn Balor was taking time off. I guess he's not.
He's not? Why?
Because he's fighting Bray Wyatt.
No, after this, he's taking the time off.
So Bray Wyatt wins?
Bray Wyatt's going to win this. Bray Wyatt is going to beat the shit out of Finn Balor.
Or does Balor get help?
No.
No?
Not yet.
Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt's going to win this.
Okay, I'll take Bray Wyatt.
There's going to be no shenanigans in this match. It's going to be Bray Wyatt using the mandible claw on Finn Balor to win this match.
Okay, U.S. title, Ricochet versus AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is going to retain.
AJ Styles will retain. I like Ricochet a lot. The smoothest wrestler, Alex Shelley, is facing Taven now. That's an inside joke. Hammer texted me before. He has a new phone number, by the way. I have to give it to everybody. He had a new phone today, apparently. Goldberg versus Ziggles. Of course, Goldberg.
Goldberg was going with that.
Yeah. Okay.
If they were really smart, they'd surprise me. Or surprise the fans and have Ziggler win.
Oh. That'd be cool.
That'd be shocking.
Then you have like the new Legend Killer.
Yeah. That'd be shocking to me.
Okay. Trish Stratus versus Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair wins this.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair wins this. People are like, well, how come they didn't wait for this? Well, because Trish is from Toronto.
And it's SummerSlam.
It's SummerSlam.
SummerSlam is the WrestleMania of the summer. So
that's
there you
it.
Go.
That's it. And Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. If Kevin, it's a retirement match. I think whoever loses has to retire.
Kevin Owens is going to win this.
Yeah, Kevin Owens will win this. I think Shane McMahon is pretty much done with the in-ring stuff.
I think so, too.
I mean, he's still going to be involved, but...
I'm done with him wrestling now.
I'm over it. I mean, I like Shane. I like Shane a lot.
Shane, but he needs to go.
I'm over it.
Yeah,
I'm over it.
Your SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, goes up against Ember Moon.
I like Ember Moon.
For the win?
Yeah. I think Bayley's going to go heel, finally.
I'm hearing stuff in the back that McMahon is not a fan of Ember Moon.
He's a racist.
You think so?
No. I'm joking.
I think Ember Moon, you know what? I think Ember Moon's going to win it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking Ember Moon as well. Ah, this match is going to be fun because these guys have a history, and I enjoyed their run. And Choppy reminded me of this the other day. This was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton.
I remember this vividly.
Did you see the video of Randy Orton's Queen's Own wife?
Doing the RKO on him?
RKO.
She did it better than him.
She ran and caught him like that.
Woof.
That chick's from Queens, baby, representing. Oh, no, she's from Westchester. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's a Westchester?
That's it.
That's it and shit.
That's it. Are we taking Randy Orton or no? I'm taking Kofi Kingston.
I'm taking Kofi just because Randy's done it. He's been champion so many times. I don't think he's going to get it.
Okay.
Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch versus Natalya in a submission match.
Now, on paper, Natty should win this.
On paper, she should.
With the hometown crowd.
I think Becky's going to get booed out of the fucking building.
Yeah, she's on the cover of 2K20.
She is with Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. Yeah.
Wow, look at that range we got in there.
I thought Roman was fighting. He's not.
He's not fighting anybody.
So it wasn't Buddy Murphy. It wasn't Rikishi. It was apparently
Daniel. No, because Rikishi, they said that Rikishi was trying to do it for The Rock.
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people.
I did it. Oh, shut your mouth, you thong-wearing fatty.
So does Natty lose? I'm taking the man. I wish Natty would win, but Natty's not going to win.
The man's going to win this.
The man's going to win this. And for the Universal Championship, Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar.
I'm hearing rumblings.
Oh, you hear a lot lately. How come you don't share these hearings with me until the show?
Because I like to surprise
you. Oh, okay. I was like, where the fuck are you?
Because you always tell me, save it for the show, Chop.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I apologize.
So go fuck your hand.
You go. I will. In about 2 hours. Thank you.
Apparently, there's a lot of talks of having Drew McIntyre go for the Universal title. And it wouldn't make sense for a heel to go after a heel. Especially with the way Lesnar's been booked lately. So I think I'm going to take Seth Rollins to beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal title.
I asked you a question the other day about Paul Heyman, and I'm going to ask you the same question, so I want you to give your explanation to the throwback. Is with this match looming and Paul Heyman's involvement now with Raw on the production side, is he still going to be a on-screen character and do the production shit? Or is this is Rollins going to win this and then he's going to step away from Brock?
This is what's going to happen. If I know Heyman, for all these years that I've seen him on TV, he's a junkie for work. He loves taking on more and more challenges. You know, that's how Heyman is.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me if he does the on-screen role plus his backstage role duties. He did it before when he was running SmackDown. He was writing the story. Let me tell you something. 2002 to 2005 SmackDown, probably the best written show under the WWE banner at that time.
Was that the Team Angle
era
with Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin?
And Kurt Angle against Brock Lesnar storyline? Yeah. That was a really good time to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman was on screen, and he was also doing backstage duties. So it wouldn't surprise me if you got to keep in mind, he's also a little older now. He's in his 50s. But I just think he's a junkie for more work. He loves to work, this man. So
you don't think there's going to be a conflict of interest?
No.
Interior wise,
no.
With the locker room,
no.
Or like the writers and shit like that.
He's not Bischoff. Bischoff. Okay. Bischoff always had a conflict of interest with what he was doing.
Cousin Rich says Roman for the save. Ooh.
Oh, for
Seth Rollins?
Maybe.
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 Well, they got to put Roman back in there eventually. They got to put him back in.
It's gonna be WrestleMania.
Yeah, he'll be. Roman Reigns will be back in the spot.
I say WrestleMania gets a belt again.
Yeah,
I say if it was me booking it, I would have Drew McIntyre get the belt, and then eventually Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre main event.
You like Drew McIntyre, huh?
I am a Drew McIntyre mark. He is not a bad worker. He's a very good worker. He has the look. He kind of reminds me of Triple H when Triple H just turned heel on DX in 99, and Triple H was attacking everybody. It didn't fucking matter who it was it heel or babyface. He was fucking everybody up. And that's what Drew McIntyre is. He's a heel who does not fucking care who he beats the shit out of.
All right.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's your SummerSlam.
Let me just see if there's anything on the gimmicks here. Hold on. Triple Mania drew 8 million viewers.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe Tessa Blanchard got the belt, the women's title.
Yeah. Cody was there. A bunch of guys were there. I heard it was Nick said it was a good card. Nick has been like whatever we don't watch, Nick will probably watch it and give us a whole thing on it.
I never noticed this, but Taya Valkyrie. Wow.
That's what Johnny. That's Johnny.
John Morrison.
John Morrison's woman, right?
Wow.
Yeah, she's a looker. She's a looker.
She's
a looker. I'm excited for the weekend. I forgot ROH was on tonight. I gotta go home and watch ROH afterwards.
It'll be a fun filled weekend.
I'm telling you, man. Tacos and Takeover tomorrow at Casa de Rea. And Choppy's colon is on fire.
Yes, it is. We had some fantastic Nona's today.
Thank you, sir. I love Nona's.
Nona's is fantastic.
Oh, it's a great fucking establishment.
I think it's probably the best pizza on the island.
You know what? It might be, sir. It's definitely better than Danino's.
I've probably said this before in the past, but
better than Pat's. Joan Pat's. Definitely better.
I feel like I base my opinion on pizza on their regular slice. If their regular slice blows me the fuck away, that means they're the best slice in the fucking.
If you can make the perfect regular slice,
yeah,
not the fucking grandma pie, not the square, the Sicilian, not the gimmicks,
not the margarita,
not the
vodka
pies. I love the vodka pie from Frankie and Danny's.
Never had it.
Yes, you have at my place. The place I owe it.
No, I had it. I still think the best vodka pie for me is either Goodfellas or Danino's.
I never had Danino's vodka pie.
Very, very good.
Yeah?
Very, very good.
I'll take your word for
it. I'm telling you, very impressed with that vodka pie.
All right. Listen, we've talked everybody's ears off. We have a really good throwback for you tonight.
Yeah, we do. SummerSlam 1999.
Yes, this is going to be dope.
It's going to be really good. I think you guys are going to love it.
If you guys didn't listen, I started the show 10 minutes before because this was the 20th anniversary of Jericho's debut.
Yep. In Chicago.
In Chicago. So I played that. So if you guys want to listen to that on a download, please go ahead and get it later on all the gimmicks. And now on Spotify with Rant EM, by the way.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It's Phil. It's Choppy. It's the chat room. It's Facebook. You guys are awesome tonight. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God. I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media @InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Law,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya and the Pain in the Ass Choppy on the Rant EM Radio. And that's just too sweet.
How I started my morning today. New Slipknot.
Dude.
Fucking great.
The front man is this fucking band. He has a great voice.
Who, Corey Taylor?
He has a great voice.
Oh, yeah. I saw him, his other band, Stone Sour.
Oh, they're great.
They opened for Ozzy last year.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get the charger now.
Go ahead, man.
Sorry.
All right, I'm back. Choppy has to step away again. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. RantEMRadio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dak Talk Satellite Media, part of RantEM Radio, and the fucking Mets are losing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, 6-3 they're losing. This is going to be a tough test, man. They've been the hottest team in baseball. I'm very excited. You see I'm rocking my gear tonight. I've been a Met fan. I'm orange and blue since 82. Look at the tattoo. Peep that shit. Where is it? Where's my tattoo? There it is. Where's the fucking... There it is, right? Everybody can see that? Anybody who didn't see that, my Mets tattoo. Yep.
So?
I love the NXT theme. I'm not into metal. I still like you anyway, Shannon. I still like you anyway.
There you go.
It's all good. You don't have to like metal. You have to like us.
Exactly.
You have to like me and Choppy. Like a lot. You right over there, kid?
Yeah, I'm just trying to charge my phone.
There's a fucking plug. Oh, yeah, because they take the plug right there. So.
Right, it's charging.
Any hoot. You guys ready for a throwback tonight?
Hell yeah!
I know Choppy's ready. You guys ready? Let's see. Well, they brought in the relief pitches. All right, listen, if we don't lose this, we'll take the series, that's all. Let's do it, baby.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I lost my fucking my page. Hold on a minute. Anyway. You're right over there, Chop.
Mm-hmm.
eating your fucking son's, you're getting your son's fucking juice bags?
These are delightful. That's all I can say about that.
You're very excited about the sale. You're like, a dollar a box.
Dude, I was more excited than my wife was.
I know, dude. You're like a fucking kid in a candy store.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the WWF. Not WWE, WWF.
WWF.
SummerSlam 1999.
Right. This is from August 22nd, 1999. From the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the Timberwolves.
Attendance, I believe, was 17,000.
17,370. Buy rate of 1.71, Chop.
1,700,000 buys for this pay-per-view. Which for 99 standards, that's a lot of fucking bread, dude. It's a lot of money.
Ooh, is that Capri Sun? Those are delicious.
They are delightful.
See, Shailen gets a pass because she...
Well, she's 12 years old. Of course she likes Capri Sun.
She's 12. Tactical scarf. Oh, make it for an Elise scarf on this fucking thread. That's hysterical. Looks like an elitist. Okay. Anyway, the WWE Intercontinental and European title are on the line.
The first Eurocontinental champion, which is D'Lo Brown.
The Eurocontinental champion. D'Lo Brown versus D'Lo Brown with Debra and the puppies.
Well, there's a reason why. Jeff Jarrett was doing the Macho Man thing where he was tired of Debra taking the spotlight. So he's like, nope, nope, get out of here. I don't need you here. Then Debra goes to the back and is like, D'Lo, did you see that shit? I need to go outside with you. So what did D'Lo do? He's like, yeah, you coming with me, sweetheart. So he goes outside. They go out together to the ring. People are going nuts. And, of course, Jerry Lawler is just like, they ain't cheering D'Lo. They're chilling for the puppies. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Let's play this for a second.
Please.
Because this is a Tony Z special.
Great bear. Lay some hell. Beat Debra.
Wow.
What? Oh hell yeah. I beat Debra.
The Wizards played that all the fucking time a couple bunch of years ago.
Did you ever heard of Stone Cold ET?
Oh yeah. When
the guy goes in with an ET mask, he orders food from the drive up.
What?
He'll be like, this is Stone Cold ET and I need a cheeseburger. What?
Stone Cold E.T. says, I love it.
What?
All right, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the throwback.
The first match, again, is D'Lo Brown, your Eurocontinental champion, with the challenger, Jeff Jarrett.
Now, I got to tell you, Debra McMichael was fucking stacked. Even though the titties were fake, she was so fit.
Honestly, like, I think that she was working out heavily at this time. She was... In phenomenal shape.
Yeah, phenomenal shape. You right over there?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. The kid's awake, by the way.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's not falling asleep. He wants daddy this time.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway. But, dude, it was a fantastic match. It turns out it was just all a ruse. And then Mark Henry comes in there, does the D'Lo Brown thing. He kind of tricks D'Lo Brown into thinking that he was there to save him. Whacks him with the fucking guitar. And then joins Southern Justice.
Shanghai Pierce and Tex Lassinger.
Oh, boy.
Southern Justice.
Joins Jeff Jarrett and becomes Southern Sexual Chocolate.
Beat Debra.
I beat Debra.
Drink beer. Raise some hell. What?
So your new Eurocontinental champion, Jeff Jarrett.
That's J-E-double-F.
J-A-double-R-E.
Ha-ha! E-double-T. Ooh, and choppy's colon, if you will.
C-H-O-P-P-Y. That's choppy's farts.
That's choppy's farts.
Nice, lemon nice.
I love Dominicans. They're great.
Oh, I got it. That's the name of the episode. I love Dominicans. They're great.
I love arroz con habichuelas.
Debra's boobs are bigger than her.
I agree. They probably weigh more than her fucking head.
Okay. Your next match. The tag team turmoil match.
This match was okay. It wasn't terrible.
Edge and Christian versus the Acolytes, the Hardy Boys, the New Brood. I forgot about that. The Hollies and draws, and walking draws in Prince Albert.
Wow!
I don't remember draws not crippled.
Wow.
I've totally forgot.
A walking draws.
Nice, lemon ice.
Hey, big boy.
Hey, big boy.
Big boy.
Yeah, this was a fun match.
It was a good match. It wasn't terrible.
No.
It was good.
I told Choppy in the car riding away here, I totally forgot that the Hardy Boys left and went with Gangrel.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of fucking Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
And then Gangrel beat the shit out of fucking Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
And then the Hayes are joined up with the Hardy Boys.
Chop Dust making his presence known.
Chop Dust.
That's right. You want to get into this a little bit or what?
He's like, eh. Can I just say?
Ooh, Todd Frazier hits a 3-run home run. The Mets tie it in the ninth, in the bottom of the ninth.
So, oh, they're going to win it.
Fucking love it. Fucking Mets.
Before we get into this match, can I just say?
Go ahead. Say whatever the fuck you want. It's your show. Dude.
Bradshaw had the sickest fucking clothesline.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. He learned from the best.
He used to knock the shit out of. And this is like mean Bradshaw, not JBL Bradshaw. This is mean Bradshaw.
This is Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Yeah, this is, he's like, I'm going to fucking decapitate you, Bradshaw. It was amazing.
Yeah, I like the Acolytes, though.
I like them better than the APA.
Yeah, well, everybody does. I like them I like them all around. Dude, they were a good team.
When they changed their theme song to that rock.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. When I heard that music, I was like, oh, shit's about to go down.
Shit's about to go down.
They were a very good tag team.
So, who wins this?
I believe it was the Acolytes.
Yeah.
They won it by beating the Hollies, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Hollies.
The Super Heavyweights.
The Super Heavyweights.
They used to bring down the fucking scales with them. That was great.
All right.
Your next match.
For the hardcore title.
Big Boss Man, the champion.
Defending against Al Snow. With his dog. Pepper.
Oh, God. That storyline sucked. Yeah. That was a terrible storyline. Where he fucking grinds fucking Pepper and then feeds it to fucking Al Snow.
Yeah, dude.
That was later on, though.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible, actually.
What a terrible storyline.
That's a terrible idea.
These guys had no chemistry. I'm sorry. They're okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wasn't really big on the hardcore title, man. I mean, and of course, the Road Dogg calls out the winner.
Yeah, of course.
Like, who cares?
Also, by the way, I didn't give a shit about the hardcore title until you know who got the title? Mr. Pay-Per-View.
Oh, Rob Van Dam. I was hoping Taz would hold on to it a little bit, but
He was always injured. I mean, when he came out at Royal Rumble, that was amazing. That was probably the highlight of his career.
Yeah.
And then he came out, and believe it or not, when they did WrestleMania 2000 and then went to California, he got an amazing reaction. Yeah. Like, people liked him. Bossman was the best heel of the era. Ugh, he was so bad. He was the original Shield member.
With the fucking chest plate on. Oh my God, dude.
What happened?
Your asshole.
Frazier crushed that ball.
Yeah, he hit 3-run home run.
Fuck him.
No. No, we can't. No, we can't.
Aaron just said, showing up late, but I'm here, you mooks. What's up, Phil and Choppy? We're doing great, you fucking jerk off.
Who's that?
Aaron Myers.
Aaron's in the building?
Hey, Aaron.
Aaron? Aaron. Okay, terrific.
Where's D-Nice? You ever seen that video?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Where's Jay Quillen at?
Fuck it.
Pop it.
Fuck it.
Will you stop?
All right. The women's title match. Ivory versus Tori.
This was dog shit. This was dog shit.
Yeah, it was dog shit.
Terrible.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They had no fucking chemistry whatsoever.
Yeah, it was Tori, because I know Ivory's a good wrestler, Tina Marie, but is Tori that bad, or just had no chemistry?
No, they just had no chemistry. They're both very good workers.
Yeah, Tori wasn't that bad, if I remember.
She's not bad at all, but she just, I think she was, and she's not much to look at either, Tori, face-wise, but like, they had no chemistry, these two.
I was disappointed, and I hate women's wrestling.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Ivory wins this.
Yeah,
thankfully.
This match shit the bed for
me. Lion's Den? Dude, let's not forget Steve Blackman accidentally hit Ken Shamrock with a car.
Wait, we raised a comment.
He made negative.
He made N-Word eat his dog and then dragged Big Show in his dad's coffin. There's no comparison.
No. That shit was not heelish. That shit was funny.
No, that was good, but this was... I just didn't like the match.
No, best heel of that era was definitely Triple H. Of the 99, of 99, Triple H was the best heel.
The Game.
The Game. Aaron,
oh, love. Look who's in the fucking chat room.
Did you see the thing that Scotty put us on Ghetto Geek Squad?
I did, but ladies and gentlemen, joining us, Scott! Former co-host of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. What's up, Aaron?
Aaron.
And Scott! that doesn't get a hold. I'm sorry.
It never does.
One of my best works.
Works.
All right, so... I get it, the Lions Den, the weapons match. I just could have did without the weapons.
I like the weapons in the match.
You like the weapons in the match. It was good. Because you're 10 years younger than I am, and you love this era.
I just loved Steve Blackman. He was great.
There's nothing wrong with Steve Blackman or Ken Shamrock. I just didn't feel this match at all.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah? Man.
I mean, Jerry Lawler was like, you know, he goes up to JR. He's like, yo, you know, JR, you know, have you ever accidentally hit something? Well, that's what happened with this. You know, see, Blackman accidentally hit Ken Shamrock with his
Scott.
Car.
Hi.
Hi.
Is that a fucking commercial? Hi. Bye. Okay, bye.
And then JR was like, I never hit a human being with a car.
Unlike Lola.
Yeah.
Unlike Piper. Unlike a bunch of people.
Ken Shamrock wins this.
Yeah.
He got, throughout this whole feud, Steve Blackman beat the shit out of Ken Shamrock with those fucking kendo sticks.
No love for Steve Blackman.
No love for Ken Shamrock either.
Like, there was a couple of guys that made that transition to pro wrestler. You know who's doing it now? Kane Velasquez from UFC.
Yes, he's going to AEW, apparently.
That's what I'm hearing.
AEW's looking at him. They're liking him.
Yeah.
They like him a lot.
The love her or leave her street fight.
This was good. This was very good.
Let me just premise this first. I invested so much emotion in this match that I rewound it and watched it again.
It was a good match.
It was a really good match. The storyline was good. Apparently, it was when Test and Stephanie had a thing going.
And then Shane would not allow it.
Shane wasn't having it and decided to have a feud with Test, but he recruited his boys, the Mean Street Posse.
Joey Abs, Pete Gass, and Rodney.
And Rodney versus Test.
You know, Jerry Lawler explained, you ever been to the Mean Streets? It's really rough over there.
It's really rough over there.
It's really rough. Oh, man. Oh, Dre's just told me that Kane wrestled at AAA.
He wrestled AAA, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. I want to see Triple Mania. I didn't see it.
You know what I'd love to see? Kane Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar in a WWE ring. Kane Velasquez fucked Brock Lesnar up, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but Brock would fuck him up, though.
No way.
Brock can wrestle, dude.
No way.
Brock can wrestle.
Kane would fuck his ass
in
up.
In an MMA fight, maybe, yeah. But not pro wrestling.
Yes, he would.
No way, yes. Dude. You're out of your mind.
I am out of my mind.
Tell Tony C that. I want you to come on the rant on Tuesday and tell Tony C that. Okay. You got to call into the rant and tell Tony C that Kane Velasquez, who's been wrestling for like 3 minutes, pro wrestling for 3 minutes, can beat Brock Lesnar, who's been wrestling for 20
years. Yeah, because Brock Lesnar can only wrestle for 3 minutes a match now.
Don't matter, though. He can still go.
Fucking dreadful.
All right. A great match. This is probably my favorite match of the night. Besides the main event.
I mean, that was good. The Shane McMahon and it was really heated. You could tell that you can also tell the crowd was really invested in this match. Very, very happy with this match. And then you know, Shane McMahon does his famous elbow drop to the outside, and eventually you know the Mean Street Posse gets involved. Test beats all three of those motherfuckers.
Yeah, he fights them all off.
Yep. And then eventually
gets help.
Gets a little help.
Go ahead, finish it
from
up.
From
the Stooges?
From the Stooges, Briscoe and Pat Patterson. And then eventually, God, I hated Jared Briscoe and Pat Patterson as fucking baby faces. They suck as baby faces. But anyways, after the pump handle slam, everyone's like, oh, pin him. He's like, no, Tess like, fuck that.
Yeah, no, Tess was... Rest in peace, Test.
Test goes up to the top rope.
Rest in peace.
Drops that fucking elbow drop right off the...
Yeah, you know what's fucked up? When he laid out Shane, I didn't think he had the distance.
He had it.
It didn't look... When you see that, when you watch that, Watch, guys, seriously, watch this match tonight or tomorrow, whenever you go to watch it. When Tess lays him out and climbs to the top, I was like, it looked like he was gonna miss. That's how far away it looked.
Got him.
But he hit him. He's fucking.
Oh, you got to keep it. He's almost seven.
Yeah, he's almost 7 foot tall.
He looked like Kevin Nash if you think about it. And then after the win, the 1-2-3, Tess gets to stay with Stephanie.
Stephanie
comes running down very happy and elated that Tess had won the match.
That's how you tell a fucking story.
It was a good story.
It was a good story.
Now your next match, the WWF World Tag Team Championship match. Your champions, Kane and X-Pac, against the unholy alliance of Undertaker and Big Show. With Paul Bearer. As the manager. There's a little bit of a shoot in there.
Before you get into that, how over was Kane and X-Pac?
Oh. Over.
They and I'm going to say this, and I might get some shit for it. They might have been the most popular tag team at that time.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
They were fucking over.
Because Edge and Christian wasn't getting reaction like those two.
No.
Not even the Hardy Boys. Not yet, at least. The Hardy Boys weren't getting reaction.
Not
like
yet. Not, and Dudleys weren't there yet.
Acolytes weren't there. Weren't getting
reaction. They just became a team at that point.
Yep. No, these two were very, very over. But then, like, they would come out and they would just get great reactions. Then Big Show and Undertaker kind of just, like, killed the mood.
You know, it's Undertaker really didn't do a lot of tag matches unless it was with guys like Show and Kane. And
He trusted.
Yeah. Like, he didn't do a lot of tag matches.
No.
And it's fun. It's when you think about when you go back, you're like, it was almost a treat to watch. I'm like, oh, I forgot Taker was doing a tag team match. That wasn't Kane. You know? I enjoyed this match. It was pretty good.
I mean, the match itself was pretty good. I think Taker got really pissed off at. No, not really pissed off. It was part of the storyline. It gets to a point where, you know, Big Show was just dropping knees on fucking X-Pac.
Yeah.
And it looked devastating. The way Big Show made it look devastating. Then Big Show goes for the choke slam, drops X-Pac with the choke slam. And instead of, like, doing a proper cover, no, he just puts his one hand on top of X-Pac. And Undertaker's like, pin him properly. And kicks out. And then the Undertaker was like, tag me in. So he tags him in. Comes in, drops X-Pac with a fucking tombstone pile driver, dude.
Yeah.
And wins the match, 1-2-3. You got new tag team champions in Big Show and Undertaker, the Unholy Alliance. And then it was not a very, very happy win for these two because Undertaker was like, he was like, what was that? He was like, I had him, bro. I had him. And it was.
When was Big Show? Was 98 or 99, St. Valentine's Day?
99.
Oh, so he was only in the company a couple of months point.
8 months. Yeah. No, not even.
Not even. February.
Six or 7 months.
Yeah, February.
It was not that long. I think he was still learning. That's the problem. He was still learning the WWE way. That's the issue.
Oh, did they win this fucking game?
Let's see.
Choppy, I'm sorry, dude. This is pretty important to me. Yep.
They won. Did.
They beat the Nationals. Bottom of the ninth. That's fantastic.
I told you.
This is such a. I can't.
Oh no! She can't look. Mets win.
I can't get. I mean, I want to be so excited, but you know, it's the Mets. You know.
Shut up.
Anyway,
just let it be.
Let's go Mets, baby. Half a game out of the wild card.
And now your next match, the semi-main event, the Kiss My Ass match with Mr. Ass versus The Rock.
Billy Gunn brings a plus-size woman to the ring.
Phil's kind of woman.
Yeah, I mean, she was a little too big for my taste, but nice lady. I'm sure she's a nice lady.
Oh, my God. That ass could swallow a fucking atmosphere.
That was the whole point. And Billy Gunn's like, you're not going to kiss my ass.
You're going to kiss her ass.
And this was the Rock and Mr. Ass feud that we all love.
It's a good match.
This was a fun match.
Brock was like, I gave you the people's poison ivy on your ass, you stupid. You see this, Billy Gunn? You see this, calamine lotion? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You see this bottle? I need you to take this, shine it up real nice, turn that sumbitch sideways, and stick it straight up your candy ass. And then Mr. Ass came running down and beat the shit out of the Rock.
He most certainly did.
Oh, man, this match was really good. The one spot that I really, really enjoyed, The Rock was going for the Rock Bottom. Billy Gunn gets out of it and out of nowhere drops him with the fucking Famouser.
Yeah.
Really nice spot.
Yeah.
Really, really good spot.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone did it better than. Maybe, you know what? I can't say that. Maybe Dolph Ziggler does it just as good. Because Dolph Ziggler does a really nice Famouser.
I don't think anybody else does that finisher.
I don't think so either. It was just right now.
The Rockies used to do it, but as a tag team.
Yeah, the Rocker Dropper. It was called by Marty Jannetty. But but Dolph Ziggler did a fantastic finisher. But like the way Billy Gunn did it, I remember that one time in King of the Ring '99 where he dropped X-Pac right off the top rope. Really nicely done.
Yeah.
As an athlete, Billy Gunn is one of the most athletically gifted wrestlers.
We just talked about him before. He 54 years old. He's
going to be 56 this year.
He was still. I'm sorry. He was still wrestling up until a couple months ago.
Yeah.
He became a road agent for AEW.
Good for him.
Imagine that though. Like he still can go.
He's jacked.
Yeah. Good for him.
And the and what happens is after he gets the drops of the Rock with the Famous, he calls the big heavyset woman in, tells her to like pull up her dress.
Yeah.
And as he grabs the Rock's head, the Rock punches him in the gut and then rubs Mr. Ass's face in the woman's ass. And then afterwards, and then Mr. Ass is trying to clear his face off. The Rock drops him with the Rock Bottom, and then goes for the People's Elbow.
Rock Bottom,
and then the People's Elbow. 1, 2, 3, your winner, The Rock. What a great match! The people were into this match.
The Brahma Bull, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
He was so over.
I love The Rock. The Rock was a fun wrestler. Fun wrestler in the 90s. All right.
Your main event. For the WWF World Heavyweight Championship, you have your champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What? Against the Mick Foley, Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Game.
Stay!
With China, and she wasn't there in the beginning.
Because the story is Triple H and China had a falling out.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't need you, I made you, blah, 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 and this was the game.
Remember when he was like, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Give up your right. You give it up now, or you un. And he's like, "Listen up, you ungrateful bitch! You
ungrateful bitch!
I made you."
Yeah.
And then China was like, "Listen up, Triple H, you ain't got the balls to fight me."
Now,
and you're a special guest referee.
Yes,
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Now, Jesse Ventura was the governor of Minnesota,
and supposedly he was very popular with the crowd.
He was so, well they're in Minnesota. What's up, Jessica? Yes, Jesse was the referee. Jesse is a huge conservative. We all know this.
I thought he was liberal.
No.
Yeah, he's independent.
No.
He was independent at the time.
I don't think so. You might want to look that up.
I'm telling you, he's independent, dude.
Nope.
Let me look it up.
Anyway, he definitely was not a fucking Democrat, I can tell you that.
No, he was not. He was independent, I think.
He had heat. Apparently, it was legit heat with him and Vince. I don't know what the extent of it was, but Vince finally, him and Vince had a falling out. They squashed their beef, and then Vince, as a, I don't want to call it a reward, but as a, as a truce, he let him come into the main event and referee this match. What are you reading up on Jesse Ventura?
I'm just trying to see. His real name is James George Janos.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what affiliation he is.
I think he's a Republican.
Green Party.
He's a Republican.
He's not a Republican.
I'm telling you.
You're a mook.
Look up Governor Jesse Ventura.
I'll look it up.
You hope Stone Cold wins what, Jess?
Governor.
I guess Jess didn't watch the pay-per-view.
See, look. Ventura ran for governor of Minnesota in 98, and as the nominee for the Reform Party of Minnesota, he later joined the Independence Party.
Oh, okay, you're right.
You okay. Fucking jerk off.
He definitely wasn't a... Because he picks...
He was not a Democrat, I know that.
No, he just abused liberals, though.
He was an independent. Hey, the wifey's in the house. Hello!
So,
hey-o.
I'm sorry, get into this match, sir.
Oh, this match is fantastic. Basically, back and forth action between Steve Austin, Mankind, Triple H. It gets to a certain point where Triple H, is really beating the shit. Oh my God, really beating the shit out of Mankind. And then it gets to a certain point where Triple H actually drops Steve Austin with the pedigree. Yeah. And you know what? And I love the way Triple H did the pedigree at this time.
He left his feet.
He literally dropped. He would like. He wouldn't hold on to with his hands.
He would
just like drop. Yeah. Just drop. Let go of his hands and let the guy drop. To his, I love the way he did it.
He was Triple H was so good.
So man. Smooth. Yeah. So like, fucking smooth. Yeah. I love Triple H.
Me too.
And then afterwards, Mankind out of nowhere knocks him the fuck out with like a fist or whatever it was, and then covers Steve Austin for the 1-2-3. Your new WWF champion was Mankind.
Shane McMahon makes a run in.
Yes, and then Jesse Ventura like throws him out of there. He's like, "Take that to your old man, you little bastard!
You little bastard!
Oh man!"
And the camera got right up on him. Yeah, Mankind. That was the second title, right?
That was third.
Second or third. Yeah. Third.
And then he drops it the next night to Triple H.
On Raw. Right.
What? I think Triple H should have won it at SummerSlam, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you got some facts.
Yeah, you know, from whatculture.com is one of our favorite sites.
You love these guys, don't you?
I love these guys, yeah. This is 10 fascinating facts about SummerSlam 1999.
Please do.
For the first time since WrestleMania 6, a pay-per-view was graced by the presence of Jesse "The Body" Ventura. This time, though, Ventura was not merely a former wrestler turned broadcaster. As SummerSlam rolled around, he was serving his term as governor. Professional wrestling was enjoying mainstream revival. But even the revival resurrection didn't shock the world like Ventura's election win. Okay, it was booked at the Target Center in Minnesota. They reached out to the former announcer to see if he would participate after he had Breaking Bad terms of Vince. I already said that. Ventura agreed to the deal, unifying the two unlikely media sensations that had once shared the same roads. Okay. Here are some facts that you may have not known about SummerSlam 1999.
Number 10.
The opener gave Mark Henry his first and only WWE belt in the first 12 years as a wrestler.
Yeah, that was his first championship win.
Championship win. Yeah. Right.
He won the European title. He didn't win it. It was given to him. That's number 10.
It was not only to mark his first belt, it was only the only belt piece of gold he would claim up until 2008. Because he got injured and whatever, and he became ECW champion, and then he, you know.
You know, I forget he was ECW champion.
Yeah, well, I want to forget it too. Number 9, Crash Holly had only debuted 12 days earlier.
Yes, he was only in the company for like a cup of, at first it was only for a cup of coffee, and then he debuted at SummerSlam with his storyline cousin. Hardcore Holly.
Rest in peace, Mike Lockwood. Number 8.
Chris Jericho admits that was his first promo that went well.
Mm-hmm. No one watching will forget.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the promo with him and the Road Dogg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he made fun of Road Dogg.
He made fun of Road Dogg. Jericho's promo over on Road Dogg versus SummerSlam at SummerSlam went off rather well. Jericho calls it one of the few good segments in my early career. He would endure more rough sledding, though.
Yeah.
Of course, because he was a new guy, you know.
Number 7, the Test Shane McMahon match was rehearsed for several days. And you want to know why? That's because Shane McMahon is not a wrestler.
Pete Gass revealed later on that Shane, Test, and the rest of the Mean Street Posse met 2 or 3 days to choreograph the match to Shane's liking. There would be no improv as Shane went over specific spots and over until he was satisfied. Can't argue with the results. It was a sleeper match of the show, which I agree with.
I mean, if you think about it, he was almost like Macho Man. Macho Man did the same shit. The Mean Street Posse bought many of the props in the match, which is good. It made sense. The street sign was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah. The mailbox paled to the framed photo of Shane McMahon and the posse that was smashed over Tess's head, but the charm was omnipresent. Okay.
Number 5, it was the first show where all three major belts changed hands.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Intercontinental title. World and the tag belts.
Oh, what the fuck, dude? I fucking hate these ads. Yeah. As for the other show, you have to skip 10 years into the future at TLC in 2009.
Correct.
McIntyre won the IC belt from Morrison. Sheamus stunned Cena.
Yep.
For the title. And Triple H and Shawn Michaels beat the Unified Tag Champions, Jericho and Big Show. Correct. Jericho.
Jericho.
Remember Jericho?
I do remember Jericho.
What up, Mott Spock? My man, Mott Spock.
We have a full house today. My God.
It's fucking great.
Jesse Ventura's SummerSlam appearance. This is number 4. Jesse Ventura's SummerSlam appearance was to partially spite some old colleagues.
In a 2012 shoot interview, Ventura admitted that one of the reasons why he took the SummerSlam gig was to stick it to Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. Bischoff fired Ventura from WCW in 94, and the body claimed that Bischoff, who he called a sleaze, backstabbed him, particularly after Hogan came on board.
Okay.
All right. That's sounds like it's something Ventura would
Number
do.
Three, the main event ended. Ending what had been, what was that?
A source of controversy.
Why? Because he Triple H beat the shit out of Austin afterwards?
At the time, Shawn Michaels was in Triple H's ear leading up to the match. Austin's apparent refusal to let Helmsley pin him stemmed from him not liking Michaels' involvement. However, according to Dave Meltzer at the time, WWE just wanted to do a run, a double surprise finish for SummerSlam, and in the following Raw have Helmsley win the belt on the latter show.
I still think Triple H should have won the fucking belt. Because he was built up.
Yeah, why give it to him the day after?
It made no sense.
Right. But they did it a lot.
I just think Austin did not want to get pinned by Triple H. I didn't understand it.
Number two?
Triple H saved Austin from a blown spot.
Ooh, okay. So right after Jesse's run-in with Shane during the main event, Austin began climbing the turnbuckles. According to Stone Cold, it was his first time wearing a second knee brace, which he wasn't comfortable with. He ended up tumbling and getting tangled into the ropes, which was a loss to free himself.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah, I do remember.
Now, most eyes are on Ventura, enjoying a moment of shine in front of his constituency. The governor apparently didn't hear Austin screaming for him to come over and help liberate him from the rope trap. And it was up to Triple H to run over there and pull Austin while making it look like he was assaulting him. It's all about teamwork, really, when you think about it.
That's it.
All right, that's fucking great, actually. I didn't know that.
Number one, the SummerSlam did triple the usual business in Minnesota.
So Ventura had the hot name in 99. Media outlets picked up some dumbass wrestler wins governorship story. Ventura's name carried plenty of weight, so much so that all the hype over his appearance at SummerSlam did big business in Minnesota. SummerSlam was down 600,000 buys overall from 700 the previous year. The Wrestling Observer reported that the event did triple the usual number of buys in Minnesota. That was chalked up to wrestling fans and casual observers alike being curious about Jesse Ventura's involvement. The Observer also notes that while wrestling fans enjoyed the show, non-fans from the state who turned in startlingly on the uncouthless of the Attitude Era product, guess folks just didn't get it. All right. And that's your 10 fascinating facts.
And that's your throwback for this week, SummerSlam 1999.
Overall, you enjoyed it?
I loved it. It was a really good pay-per-view.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought it was done really nicely.
Okay.
What are we getting?
What do you want?
I don't know. Let's see.
Let's see.
You want some Sugar Ray?
I like Sugar Ray. I'm pulling something from 1999. That's what I'm saying.
Why don't we pick...
You want the New Radicals?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'd kill us.
I love it. Hold on. Yeah, let the commercial play first. Oh, boy.
I just want to say thank you very much for everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you for Kevin Castle for joining us. Justin Anderson.
And Vince from Inclusive. Vince
from Inclusive on Sundays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dear Lord.
Yeah, man. Trace and L and Shaylin, Cousin Richie.
Yep.
Rob Domingo. A lot of people were in the chat room tonight. Nick German.
Nick German Suplex was in. Shaylin was in. Trace was in there. A lot of people show joined us today.
Telling you, man, it was dope.
What was happening today?
All right, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to download this on www.turbicalthrowbacks.com, rantemradio.com, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. We're part of Dark Satellite Media. All these fantastic networks have amazing programming. Please go and get it. We're on all the social media gimmicks.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at Choppy2984. Follow me on Twitter, Choppy2984. Follow this mook, T-Buckle T-Backs, on Twitter.
And at Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Instagram.
Yes. And then follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, how about going to Turnbuckle Pro Wrestling Tees?
Buy yourself a Mook Tank shirt. Sorry.
Yeah, it's prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks.
Buy yourself an original.
We have five different designs now.
We have a lot of designs. We're thinking about making more designs, but you people have to buy it. You people.
You people
need us.
You people.
So
you people need us.
On behalf of my tag team partner.
What are you closing the show now?
No, you do it.
No, go ahead. I insist.
I don't know how to do the Jerry Springer.
No,
you do it. I'm not good with the Jerry Springer gimmick.
Yeah, it's the New Radicals. It's 1999. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the chat room, on Rant EM Radio and on Facebook on behalf of my tag team partner, Pain in the Ass Choppy. I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, minding you all, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, and let's fucking go Mets. How about that?
Oh, Jimmy's in the house.
Yeah, it took you 2 hours, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. You're kind of late now.
Ladder Wars was bloody. Good night, brothers. Love you guys.
Later.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.